The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy. It's Tuesday morning, it's the 27th of August 2019. Time is 4 minutes past nine. We're on text 51551 and email ryan@rte.ie. And it's grand out there. It's a grand day. Not particularly beautiful, not particularly grim. Neither this nor that. Neither fish nor fowl. But the kids are going back to school now with freshly ironed uniforms and the new socks. Everything's clean. Shoes are clean. Books are wrapped. And it's all starting to feel like life is getting back to normal. At last, heavy traffic. At last, no. But it does seem to be getting a little bit back to normal. I would, as I always like to, listening to the bulletins throughout the morning, give the doff the cap to Vincent de Paul. We often think Vincent de Paul equals Christmas, but actually it's a year-round thing. So svp.ie, I was thinking this morning, I must do that myself. If you're in a position to be a little generous as you're packing your kids off to school and think, well, you know, there's other kids who aren't getting a meal or are having trouble getting those books or the dastardly digitalization, if you like, electronification of the school going experience is not cheap. So if you're in a position to and can help, svp.ie would be a lovely thing to do. If you can't, you can't. If you can, what a nice thing it would be to do to help somebody else along the way. Have a think about it, if you can. Victoria Allen writes in the Irish Daily Mail this morning that optimists, let's think about an optimistic start to our Tuesday morning, optimists who see the glass as half full tend to live longer and have a greater chance of reaching their 85th, very specific, 85th birthday. How about that? This is from a study. So this means that if you feel good about the world or happy about the world or at least optimistic, this isn't about, I don't think it's about necessarily money or material things. It's a level of optimism and thinking brightly about the future. Experts believe positive people cope with stress better, which may limit its effect on their physical health. They're also more likely to set themselves goals and believe they will achieve them, which makes them more likely to exercise and eat healthily. It's a good point. I mean, you see people and you work with them and you meet them and they just have a face longer than Shergar. And you think, what's, like, whatever about the bit that's going on privately, that's, I'm not including those people. If you've got stuff going on in life that's not good, I get that. You deserve to have a long fit because life is not fair. Get that. I'm talking about people really don't have anything to be given out about and continue to give out. Those ones, you guys, God, you're wearouts. And you drag the whole thing down. And you get to a point where you say, do you know what, I'm just not going to hang out with that person. Or I'm just, nah. You know, you might pass them by and think, what, just say hello. What's wrong with you, Johnny Longface? Now, if there is something wrong, like I say, excused. You don't have to do your homework. But nothing wrong, no excuse. Simple as that. And actually, it's good for your health to be a bit more positive. I apparently heard on the radio this morning, because I just said it, if you're actually positive and optimistic, it's good for you. It's good to think pint half full, as long as you can get your hands on a pint. Ooh, Emmanuel Macron having a little bit of a spat with the president of Brazil. This is the after effects of what happened. I mean, Sean Whelan, who's doing a terrific job at the moment, loving Sean Whelan, and he was over in Biarritz and he was wrapping up last night in the news. And he said, actually, all told, it wasn't a bad summit. Boris didn't make a fool of himself. Trump didn't run off in a huff. And the Iranians, the arrival of the Iranian foreign minister seemed to have given a little bit of optimism for everyone around the place. And I think watching it, Macron seemed to have handled the Trump thing really well. I think he handled the personality that we're all dealing with very well and handled it, stage managed it. He's from a theatrical background. His wife was his drama teacher, don't forget. So they're very acutely aware of the optics of all of this. And anyway, this war of words broke out between the presidents of France and Brazil as Macron responded angrily on Monday to Bolsonaro's extraordinarily rude comments about his wife, Brigitte. So what happened, it seems, is there was a press conference and some guy had posted a thing. Well, we should explain that the row broke out over the French president's attempt to put international pressure on Brazil to deal with the vast fires that are raging throughout the Amazon. And some guy writes, "Do you understand now why Macron persecutes Bolsonaro?" Which I didn't think was particularly vicious, but nevertheless, Bolsonaro posted a response saying, "Don't humiliate the guy, he has it bad enough already with the wife and all that sort of thing." And Macron said, "Bolsonaro has made some extraordinarily rude comments about my wife. What can I say? It's sad for him, firstly, and for Brazilians. I think Brazilian women will probably be ashamed to read that from their president. As I feel friendship and respect for the Brazilian people," he said, "I hope that they will very soon have a president who behaves in the right way." And the Facebook comments, which the French president found offensive, appeared below a picture of the Macrons beside one of Mr. Bolsonaro, 64, and his wife Michelle, 37 years his junior. Cuts both ways, guys. Gotta cut both ways. Otherwise, that would be unfair and wrong. Speaking of the fires raging through the Amazon, Aoife Bannon tells us in the Irish Sun this morning that Leonardo DiCaprio has donated €4.5 million to the fund for the Amazon rainforest, which has been destroyed by the wildfires. What a nice thing to do. There's a guy who's thoughtful and has the money to do it, so do it. He pledged the money through the environmental foundation Earth Alliance, which he created with philanthropists Lorraine Powell-Jobs and Brian Sheth. So that's a nice, it's a decent thing to do, and he's right. And of course, he's still wearing them in the cinemas with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I referred to at some length last week as being excellent, if you're a Tarantino fan. So go forth and enjoy. Meanwhile, Emmeline Saunders tells us in the Irish Daily Mirror today that Love Island's Maura Higgins has announced she's taking some time away from the limelight after being papped on a night out with a mystery man. How about that? The Irish grid girl apologised to disappointed fans who paid for tickets to see her in Birmingham over the weekend at a personal appearance, which she cancelled in favour of a night out in London. Right, and then taking to her Instagram on yesterday afternoon, the Longford woman admitted she'd needed some downtime after her hectic post-Love Island schedule, but there was no mention of the blonde man who she was photographed with the night before. She posted, "I wanted to come on and say to everyone who was coming to see me at my PA, my public appearance obviously, I'm so sorry I didn't make it. To be honest, I'm completely burnt out. I have not had a day off since leaving the villa. I have not had any social time or anything, so I need to take a few days off and just kind of sort my head out." She's doing the right thing. You know, it hasn't stopped, and people are at her, as they will be for a while. And she needs to be minded by also people around her, critical, the agents and family, and just need to gather around and make sure she's not doing too much, because it's quite a big thing to come out. She went in, absolutely an unknown person, just and then came out extremely famous and well-known. So it's a strange transition for her to make, so they have to be careful as she goes about it. I've never met her, but I have to say I am looking forward to meeting her on the first Late Late Show of the season on Friday week, because she's booked to come and join us with Greg and Amber. And they're just such enormous... a news story of the summer, which is why we're doing. I see another guest on Friday week, Aisling B, who's doing great things in comedy and drama in the UK. Features in the Irish Daily Star this morning. Conor Doyle says that Aisling B has confessed to feeling fearful of posting online anything that shows Donald Trump in a bad light after recently applying for a visa to work in America. How about that? She's from Kildare. And she says she noticed a change in questioning by US immigration since Republican Trump took over at the White House in 2016. "I do know," she says, "what it's like to be an outsider in different countries. I've been an Irish person in Obama's America, and then I got my third visa quite recently under Trump, and suddenly the questions started changing. All of a sudden, they need you to put your Twitter and Instagram handle down. Why does the American government need to know that? It's getting harder and harder to make jokes about it all." Isn't that interesting that they would just be worried about the implications of what you might be putting down on Instagram and Twitter? But that is a little sidebar story from about Aisling B. And there's also, as it was in the RT Guide interview I did for, which is out yesterday, today, I mentioned that we'll also have one of my favourite Irish icons, Sinead O'Connor, on the programme on Friday week. And she is in great form. I just get a really good feeling about it. It's like almost a career reboot. Is that, would that be right to say for her? She's got so much to give, and I think she's in a great place to be doing it. And I'm looking forward to her coming, not only coming on the show and chatting, but she's going to sing for us a song that I'm not going to tell you which it is, but it is not what you'd be expecting. And very excited about that. There's more to come, and I'll tell you all about it in the next week or so, obviously. Text number is 51551. Norman is in Bray. Whether the glass is half empty or half full, it's immaterial. It is also always refillable. That's true. We'll take that. And another from Maureen says, following your lovely interview with Catherine Ryan Howard, I started Rewind this morning. And so far, so brilliant. Thanks as ever for the book recommendation. I read a bit more of it this morning also before I came in because it is, it does what it says, and it's a thriller. It's a page turner, and it just features things and people that you'd be read. You know, there's the influencer who's Instagramming their life away. There's the website newspaper.ie, and all of this sorts of things. It's just very contemporary Irish thriller. I really liked it. It's called Rewind. Worth a look. Think and Grow Rich is a book by Napoleon Hill. Okay, all about thinking positive and creating environment for positive things to grow. Right. Okay, well, thank you for the recommendation. The Dalai Lama says another text, meanwhile, says, choose to be optimistic. It feels better. Love that phrase and keeps you going. Good. True about the long faces. I was brought up to say hi and smile and lighten up everyone. Yes. But like I say, there's two schools of people. People who are in the horrors and they need to be given a pass, and that's, they've stuff going on. But the other ones, no. No excuse. Poor children going back to school. Let them see out the summer as we used to. School can wait until September. I was saying this at lunch the other day. When did this August school thing? School was always September. Now they're going back. There was kids going back in uniforms last week. Stop. Well, I'll go to this email that came in. I mentioned in passing, really, that I was doing a jigsaw at the weekend, and the text machine just went bonkers with people telling jigsaw stories, whether it was doing with people they love or a peculiar type of jigsaw. The one that stayed with me was the one with the empty, the can of beans on a plate. I mean, that's just cruel. That's not fun. But you're sent in pictures of jigsaws you've done. And then I was hearing about things that you can do jigsaws on a thing and then roll it up, even though it's not ready, finished yet, and then you can unroll it. And all. I was quite excited about all the different things you can be doing with them. But an email came in to Ryan at RT from Greg O'Neill. And he says, I just want to say how pleased I am that Nimblefingers, it's the shop I mentioned yesterday, the toy shop where the toy show began, is still going strong. It was my favourite toy shop when I was growing up in Leopardstown. That's in Dublin also. In 1972 or thereabouts, I came across a chemistry experiment in a book from the Ballsbridge Library describing how to grow a colourful garden from different chemical crystals put in a jar of sodium silicate and water. I immediately went to Nimblefingers and picked up some chemistry set tubes of crystals to try it out. And the ladies in the shop insisted I bring the results back to let them see. And they were full of praise for me when I did it. I just retired here in Calgary after a 40-year career as a chemical engineer in Ireland. How lovely. The States and in Canada. And I have to give some credit to the good people at Nimblefingers for encouraging a young chemistry nerd so many years ago. Regular listener, love the show, got a lovely bit of home to tune into. Greg, what a lovely story to share with us, and it is amazing how a good shop, well run, it's like something out of Bagpuss, can just bring you back, bring back memories, and yet it's still going because, you know, the good stuff lasts.